Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
A town built on a hill that cannot be hidden. Somebody say, I'm under the influence. You may be seated in the house. So glad that you are here on a Wednesday night. Summer has started. This time next week, it's going to be 100 degrees, they say. But I can promise you it will always be a nice 71 here at Living Way. So join us as often as you can get here. Under the influence, we are all called. This is Jesus' call and command for us. He said, I want you to change the world. You're going to do it by being the salt to the earth and the light of the world. Influence is an action or process of having effects on our actions, our behavior, and our opinions. Our action, holy habits, our behavior, righteous reflexes, and our opinions. And when we are influenced, or when we allow Jesus or his word to influence our opinions, it literally brings his truth that will always override our personal beliefs or what we think. Before we can influence, we must be influenced. And I don't know what anyone has told you, but I want to be one of the first, but I don't want to be the last to just declare this into your life, that you are an influential person, that you are changing someone's life, good or bad. You are bringing in the change agent, the catalyst agent for somebody. But for us on a Wednesday night, all of us, most of us are believers. Most watching online tonight, we are believers. If you are a believer, you are called to be the salt and the earth, which means you are called to be a preacher. You are called to share the light and the salt and the gospel that is Jesus Christ. The last couple sessions we've talked about, and we begin to break down the ordinary things that God uses to illustrate to his followers and his disciples. He says salt and light is what you're supposed to be. We found out that salt flavors, that salt brings a different taste to the world that we live in. Last week we talked salt causes thirst, that by you being a part of a group, whether it's your job, your family, a team, wherever that is, that if we are truly the salt of the earth, that we are going to make them thirsty for what we have drank from, which is the living water of Jesus Christ. People should want more of what you have. People should want the Jesus that you serve. They might not know that's what it is, but when they ask you, what's different in your life? You're not how you used to be. That is a perfect place for you to be able to say, oh, I'm not how I used to be. Because when I met Jesus, everything changed. And we left last session talking that salt is a preserving factor, that it preserves. The reason that this earth is still being held together is because believers are here. The reason the United States is still the greatest nation on the face of the earth is not because of government policy, not because of government thoughts on economics, not because of politicians' philosophies. The reason that the United States is the greatest nation on the face of the earth is it has more word being preached than any other nation. It has, but that was a good place to say amen. It has more faith. It has more worship. It has more belief. And so the believers are literally helping preserve our nation. And the final thing that salt does that we'll get to tonight before we move on to light is salt cleans. Salt is a cleaning agent. In verse 1 of Luke 9, Jesus calls the 12 disciples together, and the Bible says he gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. This is what he did for the 12 disciples. Can I just remind you that if you are a disciplined believer, then you are a modern day, present day, 2023 disciple. And on Wednesday night, God has called you close. In your personal devotion tomorrow morning, God is going to call you close. When you turn on the worship music and worship, God is drawing you close. And when God draws you close, it's not just so that you can be near to him and him be near to you, but God calls us because the same thing, he is giving us his power, he is giving us his authority over all devils. There's not a devil in hell that can stop a disciple that has been awakened to the power and authority that Jesus has given us. Authority over all devils to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom and to heal the sick. You can cast out devils. You can cure diseases. You're called to preach the gospel. Remember what we've talked about the last two sessions. Preach the gospel at all times, and if you must, use words. Your life is the gospel. Your life is a book seen and read of all men. People see how you react. People see how we act. People see us go through the same thing that the world goes through, but we don't sweat it like the world. Why? Because we've been given power and authority to cast out devils, cure diseases, preach the gospel, and heal the sick. You say, I don't do any of those things. If you don't do any of those things, it's probably because you have not received the power. And if you have not received the power, maybe it's because you didn't answer the call. But I'm here to tell you, as a disciple, this is God's expectation for all of us. Not just the popular TV preacher, not just the popular podcast pastor, but for every disciple, he said, if you will come close to me, he said, when I call you to be the salt and to clean up this earth, what I want you to clean it from is every devil that is trying to oppress and possess. I want you to cure every disease known to man. I want you to preach the gospel for the saving of souls. That's how you clean up this earth. Sometimes cleaning looks like deliverance. That's cleaning the spirit. Sometimes cleaning looks like curing diseases. That's cleaning the body. Sometimes cleaning looks like preaching. That's cleaning the soul. And that's what Jesus called all of his disciples to. And you say, yeah, but that was just the 12 in the New Testament. I am here to tell you that God does not look, he does not think of Peter any different than he thinks of you. I know that some religions would like to call Peter a saint and afford him a lot more kudos than anyone else. But when I read Peter's life and I see the bipolar in his spirit, I see a lot of me in him and him in me. These are not Bible history, historical figures that you and I cannot live up to. If you are a disciple of Jesus, then Luke 9:1, the cleaning agent of the salt, to teach, to preach, to cast out, and to heal, that is what we're called to do. Somebody say amen. You are the light of the world. It's taken us 5 weeks, but here we are at the second component. You are the light of the world. Somebody say, I'm the light. Somebody say, I'm shining bright. A little light makes a big impact. Salt and light could not be any more different when you start looking at the two individual agents and what they accomplish. There's three things that light does. Number one, light illuminates. What I love about that word illuminate is where there was darkness, light literally dispels darkness. Even if you were to flip on your phone light in a dark room, it might be brightest next to your phone flashlight, but the entire room now has a little bit of light. But the closer you get to the source, somebody say amen, the brighter it gets. There's some of us that we are looking for things in our lives, but we are looking at them or for them in the dark. When Jesus said, hey, you are the light. Light up that situation and you will see it as I see it. Illuminate that thing and you will see it like I see it. You know what faith is, church? You know what vision is? It's when we see things like like God sees them. And Jesus said, we'll get to it here in just a minute in John 8. He said, I am the light of the world. Therefore, where Jesus is, there is an illumination. And now I see things like he sees them. Lauren just talked about the C word, that cancer word that she was diagnosed with not 2 months ago. And she said, I had those thoughts because I'm human. She is exactly right. Your mind wants to run away. Your flesh wants to think these thoughts. What you're really saying is God, I don't see this situation like you see this situation. And Jesus is saying, well, let me shed some light on that situation, and then you will see what I see. You won't see cancer. You'll see a testimony. You won't see death. You'll see life. Can I encourage you, if you don't like the situation, how you're seeing that, you're looking at it through a dim, dark light. But I want to encourage you, the same way these lights have lit up this auditorium tonight, the same way God wants to light up your life. My life looks different under the bright lights of Jesus. Your life looks different under the light that is provided by Jesus Christ. The number one thing light does is it illuminates and allows us to see what needs to be seen. Number two, light makes it possible to see. Darkness, which is defined as the absence of light, does not mean that the eye, your eye, my eye, is not functioning properly. If you go home tonight to a dark house, it does not mean you're blind. It means the lights aren't on. This is going to help somebody tonight. Just because it's dark doesn't mean the eye's not working. It means the light has not lit up anything for the eye to see. You could buy the most expensive camera known to man, but in a dark room without a flash, that camera will not take pictures. You can focus, you can change the settings, but a camera has to have what? A camera has to have light so that it can develop and take what it sees to produce an actual print. You're going to love this. The picture that is hanging on your wall is not a moving picture. It is a representation of the past that was captured in a moment where a flash went off or where light was present. But check this out. The developing of who you are doesn't happen in the light. It happens in the dark. But until you've gone through the dark season to be developed, it doesn't matter what the flash will illuminate if you haven't gone through the season of development. I'm talking to somebody today. I was in the dark, but now I'm in the light. I was in the valley, but now I'm on the mountain. What makes a valley a valley? It's void of light. It's dark. But on the mountaintop, you are the closest to the sun that you have ever been. And so everything is illuminated. I am grateful that I'm no longer in the dark, but I am also grateful that God kept me in the developing seasons of my life so that when I was illuminated, I could say, look at what the Lord has done. I look at the picture and I fondly remember those times. I'm at the age now where Facebook memories, it makes me a little sad that my kids aren't 4 and 6 years old anymore. I'm a little sad that others have gone on to heaven that are no longer here. But what that picture reminds me of is out of the dark place, the light illuminated a great moment, a special moment, a miracle moment. Light makes it possible to see. Without the light, just like the camera, just like your eyes, without the light, you and I cannot operate as God has created us and called us to operate. John 8, verse 12. Before we ever would hear the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus said, you are the light of the world. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke again to the people, and he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, there that word is again, follows me, will never walk in darkness. That means if you're living in darkness, it's a choice. Remember that old, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to walk in the light. Well, Pastor, why would people want to live in the dark? Because they're doing things they don't want people to know about. That's why most burglaries happen after the sun sets. That's why most pornography is looked at, not on Main Street at 8 a.m., but behind closed doors at 2 a.m. Because they think what is done in the darkness will not come to light. But I am here to tell you, 23 years ago, I chose the light because I was tired of hiding in the darkness, and I was tired of hiding from the darkness, and I was tired of hiding what was being done in the darkness from everyone else. Jesus said, I am the light. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light. That is why Jesus could say in Matthew 5, church, you are the light of the world. Said, you follow me, you are the light of the world. He is the sun of righteousness, S-U-N. We are the moon. We reflect what God is, who God is, what he has done in our lives. What does your reflection look like to the world, church? You are the light of the world because we are followers of Jesus, so we should reflect his light. Hey, give me that flashlight real quick. I hope this works. I didn't charge it, and I'm not setting this up for it not to work, but Mario asked me, he said, did you charge it before? I said, I actually didn't charge it. This is one of those flashlights you see on TV and on YouTube. And every night, I'm in the middle of falling season at my house, and so my house is right in the middle of my place, and I've got all these pens and pastures surrounded with these pregnant mares. And so used to, I had this little baby flashlight like this big. And you'd have to be within probably 30 or 40 feet for it to work. So I would literally have to get dressed, go out there multiple times a night, probably three or four times a night between 12 a.m. and 6 a.m. to make sure that these mares are foaling. And then I found this light. And on YouTube, the reviews were great. Hey, kill all the lights real quick, if you would, in the room. I like that. There we go. I like this light. This allows me, there you are, Brother Lacey, God bless you. This allows me, I like this feature though. This allows me to stand on my porch in my shorts and flip-flops and look in all of my pastures. This works 500 yards, five football fields, and I can see if mares are laying down, I can see if they've had babies. You know one thing I don't have to do when I have this light on in a dark room? I don't have to announce, hey, everybody, here's the light. It's right here. If you needed a light, church, I know the live stream's loving this. I'm still right here, y'all. I don't have to announce. See, sometimes you can't see the effect of salt. You will always see the effect of a light. And sometimes this light is big, but sometimes it gets real small on my situation. Now it's not 10 people, now it's one or two people. But I don't have to announce that I have the light. I just start shining the light and people are drawn to the light. Here the ushers come with somebody to their seat. There you go. God bless you, sir. You can sit down right there. Brother Jerome, thank you so much. I don't have to announce that I have the light. I just turn the light on. See, some of us are treating our light like we do the salt. And we think just because we're there, that we're going, you don't have to tell nobody what you're doing. You just show up and be the light. Show up at your family reunion and be the light. Show up at your job and be the light. You don't have to declare. You don't have to show everybody your flashlight. You don't have to tell everybody the capabilities. You just start shining. They're going to start asking, hey, where'd you get that light? How'd you get that light so bright? My light don't shine like that. Does that take a charge? How long does it take to charge that light? How much that light cost? Where'd you get that light? Where can I get a light like that? And you got 10 questions that you can answer. And it's all about the light, not about you. But how do I get the light that you got? You know, I like this light too because it's multifunction. Oh, you got that. But I like this function too. If you need to work, there you go. I'm not selling these after church. Don't worry. I'm not just. But see, the light allows me. I don't even have to hold it to work. I'm just doing what God has called me to do, and the light's shining. I've always wanted to do this in this room. We'll turn the lights on, and God said, let there be light, and there was, oh, look at that. I like that. Good job, lighting team. We didn't even practice that. Light is so powerful, it doesn't need to be announced. You just show up and start shining. Pastor Brandon, I'm nervous about what to say. Show up and shine. Show up and shine. You say, what does that mean? Show up and love. I've gotten to where everywhere I go, how's your day going today? And then how they answer leads me to my next response. Man, it's been a tough day. Well, it's going to get better. God bless you. How are they? To my friends, hey, how's so-and-so? Reaching into life, smiling to people, opening the door for people, being who God has called you to be. You are a light. It's not always about what you say. It's not always about how you flavor. It's not always about the salt. Sometimes you just got to shine Jesus. I want to encourage you, go to the high school reunion. Go to the family reunion and shine. You say, yeah, but when I get to the family reunion, Cousin Ray Ray and Auntie so-and-so, they need your light more than anybody. Be the light. Shine bright for Jesus. You don't have to announce it. Just show up. Just show up. Light announces itself with its presence. Third thing light does is it makes the invisible things visible. I love this. John 14, verse 8. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. And that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone that has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? So this is the question, church. Who does the world see when they see you? Who are you trying to be like that's not like Jesus? Because I want to be like Jesus so that when the world sees me, they don't see Brandon, they see Jesus. John 8:44. This is what Jesus said to the Pharisees. You are of your father, the devil. Remember what Jesus just said? He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He turns around to so-called believers, followers of Jehovah, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. I grew up and I still hear on a monthly basis, you look like your dad, you sound like your dad, you act like your dad, you walk like your dad. Tyler heard it today from his grandma talking about him and me. I've grown up hearing that, so here's another question, church. Which father do you resemble? What father does the world see when it sees you? Does it see a liar? Does it see a manipulator? Does it see an abuser? Or does it see a lover? Does it see a peaceful person? Does it see a joy-filled person? Does it see a spirit-filled person? I want to reflect Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Then he turned to believers and said, you are the light of the world because you reflect who I am on this earth. I got to close. There's so much in my mind about, in my spirit and mind about this. Jesus, and I referenced this in our other series. They bring a demon-possessed boy to Jesus. Said, I brought him, the father says, I brought him to your disciples. But they could not heal him, could not deliver him. Jesus delivers the young man, turns to the disciples and says, where's your faith? But here's the context that I want to share. It's the first time I've ever had to adjust my glasses. See, and for really good effect, I can. The context of that story in this manner is when the father brings his demon-possessed son to Jesus because his followers have failed to look and act like Jesus. That's a terrible story, right? What do they do now when Jesus isn't physically on the earth and we fail? Who do they take their sons to when Jesus isn't physically here. Because 2,000 years ago, he just said, if y'all can't do it, I'll just go to the main source, Jesus. What do they do now? We're his representatives. There is no taking them to a physical Jesus if it cannot be done. And so I'm not talking about Living Way. I'm talking about you, the light of the world. Me, the light of the world. Outside of this building, if you cannot get the job done, where do you think they're going to go? They're going to start burning sage. They're going to start horoscoping. It's not even a word. I just made it a verb. Well, I'm a Leo. I'm a this. I would never follow anything where one of the signs is a Cancer, because you would never hear me say I'm a Cancer. I would never say that. Miss Cleo is dead. 900 number, $3 a minute. You would think a prophetess or a soothsayer, you think she'd be able to predict that she's about to die. She never saw it coming. When the church fails to be the light, they start looking for lesser lights, fake lights, lights that soothe their ego, lights that come in, invite them in. I don't want to be that. I want to be a one-stop shop for everybody I know. If you need Jesus, I'll give you Jesus. If you need healing, let's pray. I believe God will heal you on the spot. You've got a demon, I'm the one to cast it out in the name of Jesus. You need restoration? Listen, I said this on social media a little while ago. Quit finding people that will say they'll pray for you, and find people that will pray with you. I don't want to always hear, yeah, I'm praying. I've started, when people started asking me, hey, will you pray for me? I've started saying, hey, let's do it right this second. Right now, let's pray. Let's not put off for tomorrow. I'm the light. You're the light. Let's shine. Let's do something that changes the atmosphere, changes the environment. We as believers, we must live in such a way that others can see God in us, his love, his life, his power through us. When we do that, people will be drawn to him and not us. Any influence that you have, reflect and deflect to Jesus. Man, you're really good at that. It's the God in me. Man, you're really blessed in this. Yeah, it is a blessing. It's God. It has nothing to do with me. I just said yes. Bishop said this many years ago. He said, contrast is the greatest testimony in a believer's life. The fact that we're different. The fact that I live in the light. I just joke with Mandy sometimes. I'm like, hey, let me see your phone. She gives me her phone. Hey, what's your passcode? Gives me her passcode. All right, cool. I'm just going to start going through all your messages and all your texts. She's like, I don't care. Go ahead. Why? Because she's living in the light. She has nothing to hide. You say, well, what if she's erasing messages? If you saw her messages, you wouldn't think that at all. You know why? Because the OCD always goes crazy. She will have like 2,700 unread text messages. And those red numbers are just sitting there. I don't even keep my phone locked because there's nothing to hide. Well, what if Facebook is snooping? I'm not saying nothing behind closed doors, that if Facebook were to publish every private message I've ever had, that's going to cause me trouble. Why? Because I'm living in the light. It's so much easier living in the light. Stand on your feet. It's so much easier than having this. As good as this light is, it pales in comparison to the illumination from above. The last few nights, this past weekend, we had a full moon. That full moon, the moon does not even shine on its own, but it reflects the sun in such a powerful way. Brother Charlie, I didn't even have to use the flashlight. I walked out on my porch and I could see mares 50 yards away, all because of the light from a full moon. And the moon is not even a lighting source. All it does is reflect the light of something that is already there. I'm going to tell you, as a believer, reflect that light. There is a bright sun called Christ. And he shines 24 hours a day and 7 days a week.